Pavlo Fetidis. Why are you the colour of green? Oh, yes, you were listening to Julia and a remarkable investing story. We don't like her very much. We love her. Respect her. She is awesome. But we are... What I've got her jealous. What's to say to Julius Malema? But, yeah. Okay, let's put that aside and let's talk about growth. But not ordinary growth.
No.
This thing that you call next level growth. It sounds jargony. What is next level growth?
It really is jargony. And Bruce, so many people throw the word around and bandy the word around, and
it's actually three words, but that's...
Yeah, but they mix into it the word scale every now and then as well. And, you know, every time I sit down and have a proper conversation around it, you suddenly realize that perhaps, firstly, it sounds a lot more fancy than it really is. And then secondly, most people don't really technically know what it is. So
you got growth, which mm-hmm. you hope to have in a business, and you work to grow your business. And if you can grow at 10% a year, you're doing okay. If you can grow 20% and 30% of the year, like many of your clients do, that's brilliant because you're creating real asset of value.
Mm.
But next level growth, what is that?
So it fundamentally changes the shape of the business and the position the business finds itself in the marketplace. So I'll give you a great example. You know, businesses in many ways grow like people. If you look at a kid is born and a kid goes through a whole series of growth spurts. And those spurts are very evident. In between them, they seem to stabilize. And next minute, bang, the kid grows an extra 2, 3, 4, 5 centimeters, whatever the case is, in a short period of time. Those periods of stabilization between the growth spurts are necessary to stabilize the body, to build muscle mass, to build bone density, to carry the weight of a taller child. And if you build a business like that, in effect, each of those spurts takes you to the next level of development in preparation for the next level of growth.
Got you.
So that's technically how it should be assessed and how it should be seen and understood.
Okay, but again, what is that? I would just call that growth. I mean, my child is growing. Excellent. Child stops growing, got a problem. I still don't see the difference then between growth and next level growth.
Okay, so normal growth is typically referred to as organic growth. And organic growth is where your business is growing, hopefully, perhaps a few percent above inflation, hopefully more than the economy. And hopefully you really are keeping a steady real growth rate of a few percent year on year on year. So you're getting slightly richer, you're getting slightly bigger, you're growing slightly more than you normally would. There are a number of businesses at the moment that claim, hey, you know what, we're doing the same turnover this year that we did last year, but given the economy, we're actually in a good space. No, actually, you're going backwards.
Yeah.
Because once you add all the other costs, the unforeseen costs into it and unseen costs, you're going backwards.
And so many corporates claim growth. I mean, they say, yes, our revenues were flat, but we grew earnings at 5%, and their share prices go up 2% on the day because they've done very well. All they're doing there is they're taking the deck chairs and they are adjusting the deck chairs and they're cutting costs and they're cutting people. They're cutting branches if they're banks. They are reducing their future ability to earn, potentially. If they, you know, if what was the old line? It was dreadful. It's okay to cut the fat, but never cut into the muscle. Yeah. You know, those dreadful jargony bits. My sense of it is that there's a very high risk in the low GDP growth environment that we're enduring at the moment. 0.6% is the Reserve Bank's forecast for the year, and they're usually overambitious. That companies are cutting back and possibly cutting back too much, because they don't actually believe there's going to be a turnaround.
Completely. If you look at, let's call it SME South Africa. And so, I mean, I'm going to exclude the sole proprietors. These are individuals who trade. They trade under their name. They haven't incorporated themselves effectively or efficiently in any particular way. And it's a choice, or it might be an unaware, it might either be a conscious choice or an unconscious choice. Then you've got the micro enterprises. And micro enterprises, in the world that I'm seeing, used to be around 1-2 million rands revenue a year, is now sitting at about 5 million rands revenue a year. So from 0 to 5 million rand, if you formally registered, you classified mostly as a micro enterprise. And again, Bruce, I speak as a business growth or development practitioner. So I look at it technically. Then you've got the small medium environment. And the small medium environment is so poorly defined. It's horribly defined. And that's why government statistics are very unclear in this space. But effectively, a small business picks up at around 5 million rand, maybe 10 million rand, and moves up to a medium-sized business, which runs at around 300 million rand a year. From there, you move into large and then eventually into the corporate sphere. So if I look at the SME space, the 5 to 300 million rand space, it's a big space. The average growth rates there are sitting at around inflation plus 1.5% across the country.
That's not growth.
No, that's not growth at all, because inflation eats it, and the cost of various expenses beyond inflation mean that you're not really moving anywhere. You're not going anywhere at all.
Your staffing costs, which are rising faster than that. You've got your fixed costs of rates and taxes and the things you can't avoid. So the rates and taxes, the electricity costs, the energy costs of running your business are corroding that fictional 1.5% that you think you're getting ahead.
Terribly. So the way that I look at a next level growth, something that is significantly more ambitious and more appealing than organic growth. Take the last 3 years of compounded growth that you've had and put that into a single year.
Sure.
Because that is significant. That is a significant step up. So if you've been growing at around 7%, let's say year on year on year.
This year turnover, we want to grow at 20.
We want to grow at 30% actually, because if it's compounded, it's going to be higher. It's going to be closer to about 25, 26%.
Let's make it 30.
Let's make it 30%.
So how do we take... Let's do this in practical terms. How are we going to take a business that's been growing at 7% a year, compounded a year? We know that's 25%, but because we're super ambitious, we get to push it to 30. Mm. How do we grow that business, which has been pedestrian, nice pedestrian, a fast-walking pedestrian, for the last 3 years? How do we get it to turn into Usain Bolt just after this break? So if you've been growing at 6, 7% for the last 3 years and you now want to grow at 30%, let's say that's a very big, hairy and audacious goal. The BHAG.
In this economy especially.
In this economy. So how?
So first thing, reshape your business. Because I promise you, Bruce.
Give me an example of a business that you are helping reshape, whether it be ball bearings or, I don't know, lavatory cleaner or whatever it might be.
So let's say it's a pump business. It does pumps.
You love pump businesses.
I know, but there's such... It's a nice visual business. Everyone can see it. Everyone can understand it.
And it's
boring.
Do you
want to do a different business?
I do, because pumps are boring. I'm sorry, they're necessary, but they're boring.
So pick a business and we'll make a case study of it.
I don't know.
Well, what business would you like to hear about?
Something more interesting than pumps.
I'm all ears.
I don't know. I ask the questions here. Okay, pumps.
Let's go with pumps. Okay, so firstly...
In one end, out the other. Yes.
So a pump is not a pump is not a pump. A pump is a very specialized product. And you have pumps that pump water. You have pumps that pump the most dastardly, most corrosive chemicals in the world. And so it goes. So pumps are quite specialized. And there are a lot of pump providers out there. Secondly, pumps are fairly complicated in that it's everything from manufacturing, from refurbishing, from maintaining, to importing, to distributing, to selling, to making, installing, and so it goes. It's a complicated business, and that's why it's such a nice business, because we actually have a very, very broad industrial sector in our country, broader than in the UK, broader than in most parts of Europe. Not all parts of Europe, but most parts of Europe. So it's in the industrial landscape. And the first thing you've got to do in this instance is you've got to make a bold move, absolutely. And when I say reshape the business, Bruce, become a specialist in pumps, but not in the product of pumps. Rather become a specialist in what problem the pump will solve for very specific customers and clients. And when people say to me, when I say to them, who are your clients? And they say corporates. Corporate is not a client. Because a corporate entity in banking is fundamentally different to how it behaves to one in mining, to one in hospitality.
Can you truly, in an environment as dark and as uncertain as ours is at the moment, afford to specialize too much? Because you suddenly narrow your potential market. Yes, you're brilliant in that market, but that market may choose to stop spending money. It may cut back on its expenditure.
The results I'm seeing of businesses that are narrowing and doubling down in very specific sectors and becoming specialists in that sector are running at around 28, 29% compounded annual turnover growth per year over the last 3 years.
I stand corrected.
So if I look at the data suggests it's a very good strategy. But let's just talk about what I mean by specializing. So firstly, you've got to find your customer group. You've got to understand their problem. And behind that problem sits people who buy in a very particular way. So you have to understand how they buy. Because if you can communicate how in you approaching them can help them solve a problem that, Bruce, you can quantify. So let's say the cost of the problem is X. That means you've truly understood what problem you're solving for that kind of client. It gives you a very good sense of what the cost of your solution ought to be. Because the difference between the cost of the problem not being solved, the cost of your solution solving that problem, the gap there is how you define value.
Right.
And when you specialize, you sell on value. You don't sell on product and the features of the product. So that's the first thing you've got to get right. We would call it positioning or the purpose of your business. To deliver that consistently, I'm so sorry, but you've got to build proper business systems.
Of course you do.
Activities in a sequence that can be measured. Because personal service is dead. The only thing that is system-driven service in a scalable, next-level business. And I'll explain now why.
Please.
Once we've got the systems that will deliver that experience to solve that very well-defined problem for that group of clients, customers, you then find the right people to operate those systems. And it's remarkable. I'm finding increasingly that organizations in South Africa are failing in their levels of service. Generally, we are becoming poorer at being okay. Forget good, forget excellent.
Yeah, that's just dreadful. But, I think you're absolutely right.
But it's a lived experience of a lot of people.
Yeah.
We're seeing it every single day. And it's remarkable because if you get people to operate the systems you've built, and once people are empowered in that system, people flourish. They bloom. If they've got clear parameters on how to lead the development of that system, to take control of it, to bring a purpose in their work, that's how you build a really great culture in an organization.
Completely. But that's usually the first victim of a downturn is positive culture. Because suddenly business owners go panic and they then put more rules and regulations and remove the ability of people to think. Because actually, you know, the system says you do this and people become robotic, disheartened and disinterested.
But that's when the system has become too much.
Yeah.
And that's what I mean by a system operator. A system operator is someone who understands what the purpose of the system is, sees how it translates into the performance that that client wants, that the customer wants, that you've promised already and that you've been delivering consistently. And they, in effect, hold the reins on that particular system horse that's running. What that does, Bruce, is it releases your time. And now, because you're making and taking the biggest risk in your own business, you can focus on next level growth, and you're going to find it in one of three places. You're either going to bring on a new set of products, and that new set of products might be products that you believe in your head should be products that you could sell into the clients you're already serving. And you hear all these words. It's called upselling and cross-selling, and banks love it in particular, but that's not what next level product growth offers. The next level product growth, if that new product comes on board, and it disturbs the client's understanding of what you do as a specialist, because now all of a sudden you were very good at eliminating water. Now you're saying you can also manage corrosive chemicals?
Hold on.
Hang on a minute. Which one is it now?
You're jack of all pumps.
Because you are a jack of all pumps. And I'm becoming confused how to buy from you, in fact. The second thing it does, if it changes the way your systems operate, understand this, you're going to be adding cost to the business.
Yep.
And when you change the way the systems operate, your system operators, your team, are going to struggle to keep up with what they ought to be doing, when they're doing, and how to do it. So although you might be able to sell those pumps into their client, with those sales come increased chaos, and with that comes increased cost. And that's a failure in next level growth. Because next level growth means revenues rise, with only an incremental increase in the fixed operating costs of the business. There's this wonderful divorce that takes place between the cost line and the revenue line. Next level growth is indicated by an increase in profitability, but substantially higher growth. So not only does the volume of profitability increase, but the rate of profitability increases too.
And that's how you know you've got it right. How do you know,
though, you've got it right?
How do you know, though, that you've not got it right? Because you're not achieving this, but you want to know that you're not getting it right before you know that it's not right, because you need to have remedial actions along the way. You can't be going hell bent on a strategy and get to the end of this year of what was meant to be next level growth and you just grew at 10%. Because that's an awful lot of effort for not very much.
No, massive, massive. But you don't take big risks with this type of thing. You know, the whole way that you go about introducing new ideas into the business is really, it's been so well narrated and it's been so well structured by the way that you develop software products nowadays. In effect, what you do is you take very, very small steps. They call them sprints. And the way I would introduce a new product, I'd find my 3, 4, 5, 6 closest clients. I would take the idea of the product to them. I would understand how the product serves or acts as a disservice to them. And then I would pilot with them for a while. And only once I've learned, and by the way, Bruce, all of this you can't do if you don't have the time to do it.
Absolutely.
You don't have time if you haven't built a scalable business.
No.
So with that time, I would go and learn directly from my customers, my clients. Is this value adding? Is it not? How would you buy it? Would it change the way we communicate? Would it change the way you want the experience of how we deliver to you? What do all those implications look like? And only then would I then either introduce it or reject it to find something different.
It's intimidating and it's daunting.
But it's not that hard.
Because you're just doing what you know already intimately better and more efficiently and in a more focused way.
And in a very, very disciplined way. What this weak economy is doing is it's making people chase cash flow. And although you might get deals done and you might get business generated and you might get activity going, it is going to erode the value of your business. And more importantly, Bruce, it's going to erode you and your psyche. So we are seeing a bizarre combination of requests coming across our tables. One, I want to get out. I can't cope with this business any longer. I'm worn to the bone. I hate it today. I used to love it. And the other one is, I'm on track. I'm focused. I know where I'm going. I want to scale up and get to the next level.
Always more fun. Pavlo Fatidi is from Auric Business Accelerator.